So we saw in our previous devotion about the image of God, that mankind is made in God's image. Now, if you missed that devotion, I'd encourage you to go back and look at it and maybe read Genesis 1, 26 and spend a little time contemplating what it means for us. Humanity was made in the image of God and placed on this earth of God's creation. And it's even in that same verse in Genesis 1, 26 that tells us that the purpose of man was to rule over the earth under God's authority. By the time we come, though, to Genesis 3, Satan has entered into the Garden of Eden. Man has chosen to reject God's authority, has chosen to determine good and evil according to his own knowledge. And in that act of rebellion, God's promise was fulfilled. He had said, "In the day you eat thereof, you'll surely die." They died spiritually that day. They're no longer bearing God's image as they had been created. Now, that's not to say that the image of God is completely lost in them. Genesis 9:6, for example, would tell us that the image still exists in some form, but not as originally created. The image of God in man is marred or corrupted. But now, jumping ahead to the New Testament, you know the gospel story of Jesus, God the Son. He enters into the world to redeem this fallen humanity. Now, primarily, we think of that story from the perspective of him being born human. John says the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Or Paul says that Jesus existed as God with God, but he was made, he says, in the likeness of man. And that is such a glorious truth that God himself became man in order to save these fallen, broken image bearers of God. But not only is Jesus perfectly human, which is as a reality we desperately need, but the New Testament also shows that in being this perfect human, he's also perfectly God. And so there's no better image of God than we find in Jesus himself. You know, Adam was made in the image of God, but Jesus is the image of God because he is God. Look at how the New Testament describes it. Colossians 1, starting at verse 15, talks about Jesus and says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist." In Hebrews, as it introduces Jesus, Hebrews 1:1, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spoke in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down in the right hand of the majesty on high." And then 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul says, starting at verse 3, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Now, I'm going to come back and talk to about each one of those in just a moment and show you something. But for now, I want you to see this description of Jesus. He is the visible image of the invisible God. He's the brightness of God's glory and the express image. That is the exact representation of God's person. He is the image of God so that While in Adam, humanity was forced away from God's presence. We were sent away. In Jesus, we have the glorious face of God turning again toward humanity. He's this perfect image bearer of God because Jesus is God. And so John could write about Jesus and say, no man has seen God at any time. It's Jesus the Son. It's the only begotten God who has made him known. And Jesus himself could say to Philip in John 14, if you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Now let me just add here, it's no wonder then that one of the Ten Commandments was that the Israelites were prohibited from making any graven image of God. What image could they possibly make that would have been adequate? From eternity past, there is already a perfect image of God, Jesus the Son. And this image of God is not an image that is created. This image is the very Creator himself. Each one of those passages we read in the context of the passage harkens back to the creation story. Look at them again. Colossians 1 talks of Jesus as the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That is that Jesus, the perfect image of God, God himself, created everything by himself and for himself, and he is what holds everything together. Look again at how Hebrews opens describing Jesus as the creator and sustainer of all things, as well as the image of God. Hebrews 1, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. So what we have then in the Bible story, in this overarching theme of God's plan of salvation in Jesus, we've seen Satan enter into the world to tempt humanity to reject God's authority. You could argue Satan helped deface the image of God in man, or at the very least convinced man to deface that image themselves, plunging humanity into sin and darkness. But now the perfect image of God entered into the world in the person of Jesus, God's Son. And he came to suffer the curse of that rebellion, to pay the cost himself so that he might restore us. What great news, what gospel that is. But of course, Satan is still determined to undermine and defy God. And so look at that 2 Corinthians 4 passage again. But if our gospel be hid, is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world, that is Satan, the God of this world, has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, you see that reference to creation there. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Again, we see the entirety of this grand story by a reference back to creation. Paul's saying that the gospel, the good news, is that the very Creator who said, "Let there be light," has looked into the dark hearts of us broken image bearers and said, "Let light be there." And then we see God's glory by looking into the face of Jesus, the perfect image of God. He has come to set all things right. He's the perfect image of God because he is God, and he takes these broken images and he goes to work on us. He gives us spiritual life. It's such a process, right? He gives us spiritual life, but then the work isn't over. Just prior to 2 Corinthians 4, in chapter 3, verse 18, Paul describes, we're looking at the glory of the Lord, and it's like looking in a mirror and seeing our face changed into the same image. Surely, you're familiar with how he says this in Romans 8. In Romans 8, I'll start at verse 28, because I know you know that verse. We know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Now there's so much wrong with us, and yet such perfection in Jesus. Now we can't expect to be perfectly restored image bearers of God in a day or even in a lifetime. But he's brought us to spiritual life through faith in him. And he's conforming us to the image of Jesus, who is the perfect image of God. And we only have hope through him. Our hope is knowing that he will return, and this perfect image of God is going to return, and he is going to rule over the earth, putting it under God's authority, and then he'll complete his work in us. So we'll end with this verse, 1 John 3, verse 2. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is.